Come on, if He's still everything this morning, let's give Him a hand clap of praise. If He's still everything this morning, if He's still your all in all, if He's the reason that He woke you up this morning, He put breath into your lung, if He's still the reason you're able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I will bless the Lord at all time, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It doesn't matter the circumstances that you're facing today. God is still in control. The thing that you're facing this morning has been sifted through the sovereignty of God. It didn't catch Him by surprise. And the Bible tells us that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This morning we have the opportunity to lift our hands without an adulterated atmosphere. We have the right to praise Him. Well, I felt like preaching yesterday, Sister Knowles. I feel like preaching today. Our kids can be dismissed. Sister Jackie has our older kids. Sister Aaliyah has our nursery. Everybody say amen. Let's give our praise team a round of applause. I know I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again this morning because it's true. I couldn't put a better preliminary set together for my message today. I feel like God spoke to me this week and gave me a message. So thank y'all for being in tune. Bishop Sims, you are all up in my notes this morning. I appreciate that for the confirmation. Sister Hall, thank you for the song set. I appreciate it. Y'all set me up. Hopefully I can knock it out of the park. In the book of John, you can read what is called the seven I am statements of Jesus. In John 6, He says, I am the bread of life. In John 8, He says, I am the light of the world. In John 10, He says, I am the door of the sheep. And He also says, I am the good shepherd. In chapter 14, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 15, He said, I am the true vine. But this morning, I want to turn your attention to John chapter 11. And I want to preach from the I am statement in John chapter 11. Starting in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Pastor preached a message a couple of months called You Can Live Again. And I want to take it and make it my own this morning and preach to you this thought. You can live and live again. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to stand before this congregation and minister to the people today, God. Lord, I pray as the lips of clay become the oracles of heaven, God, Lord, that Your holy anointing would fall upon this congregation, God, and upon me. Lord God, I plan to feed the sheep today, God. Let me strengthen the body through the Word, God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that You would just have Your way in these next few moments, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 You can be seated. YOLO. Everybody ever heard of that? YOLO. You only live once. In our culture today, this popular phrase, which gained notoriety around 2011, is an acronym that gets thrown around like a badge of boldness and freedom. It's the anthem of a generation, and it is used to justify everything from risky decisions to reckless living. The idea behind this thought is rather quite simple. Life is short, so live it up. Chase the dream. Do whatever floats your boat. There's only one life to live. Take the risk. Spend it all. Because once it's over, that's the end. This morning I've come to preach against the thought and notion that you only have one life to live. Jesus came, the scripture tells us, that we may have life and have life more abundantly. I've come to remind somebody this morning that in Christ, death doesn't get the last word. Death is not the finality of a child of God. And while this life is just a vapor and gone as soon as it comes, the life of a child never ends. I would dare to say that the spiritual life doesn't start when we draw our last breath from this old world, but our eternal life begins as we draw our first breath, as the Spirit of God fills the believer with the Holy Ghost. We serve a God who not only gives life, but He gives life again, Brother Dempsey. With Jesus, you can live and live again. We are not created just to exist and not created just to breathe air and occupy the days. But we are created to live in the power of the Spirit and to live again in the glory of eternity. I've come to preach this morning that with God crucified and resurrected, you have life and you can live again. Let me tell you, He wasn't just wounded for our transgressions, and He wasn't bruised just for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace wasn't just upon Him, but our ability to live and live again is in the resurrected Christ. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't say, I was. Not the I will be, but I am. That means right now He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Whatever you have need of today can be found in the man Christ Jesus. That means there is no death that He cannot reverse, no soul He cannot revive, and no situation that He cannot resurrect. Paul said it like this: you, I want everybody to say me, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Amplified Bible reads it like this: and you, with an exclamation point, Brother Dempsey, He made alive when you were dead by your trespasses and sins. You think, or for some reason there's this thought that we are alive before we come to the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We're not really alive. The Bible says that we are dead to God because of our sins and our trespasses. We are only made alive once His Spirit dwells within this temporal body. He made us alive when we were dead. As we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, while we were fulfilling the lust of our own flesh and minds, and were by nature, the Bible says, the children of wrath, just like others. Let me tell you, unless you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and baptized in the name of Jesus for the remitting sins, you are just like everybody else. I don't care if you think you are a good moral person. You are not alive. The Bible says that you are dead in your sins and trespasses. But Brother Brown, here's my favorite part of Ephesians. But God. I said, but God. Let me tell you, the Bible said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I've come to tell you this morning, I might have been a liar. I might have been a cheat. I might have been a womanizer. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love has loved us, has made us rise together. But God. But God. I might have been dead, but God reached down and He saved me. I've come to preach this morning, you can live and live again. Before we meet Jesus, we might have been just breathing, but we were not living. We were walking, but we were not alive. Sin had us bound, but mercy found us. Grace lifted us out of the grave of our past and filled us with His resurrection power. I've come to tell you today that when you repented of your sin, something in the cosmos began to shift. When you go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that the old man dies. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God doesn't just change us, but it raises us to newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, that's a clause, am I right? Because something before that has to happen. And so he writes, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Let me tell you, there's something that happens miraculously when you go down in the waters of baptism. There is, listen, it's just more than a public profession of an inward faith. But the Bible says that we are remitted of our sins. That means it's no longer held against us. That means when the judgment book is open and God begins to turn the pages of your life, where once sin did abound, grace does much more abound. And the blood of Calvary covers all those transgressions and sins. I've come to preach that in order to live and live again, we must do as Jesus told Nicodemus. John 3 and 5. You must be born again of water and of spirit. That's not optional. Brother Brown, that's not my spin on the word. Brother Foster, that's not how I see the Bible. Jesus said, if you're not born of water and of spirit, you can't even see the kingdom, much less enter into the kingdom. If you want to, listen, it's essential. It's essential. John in the first chapter says, that he is the light, and in him was the life of men. That word life in the Greek is zoe. It's the same word used when it talks about the broad road and the narrow road. Let me tell you, there's only one road to the kingdom of God. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If any man enter in any other way, he's a thief. There ain't no loophole to salvation. There's not a back door to get into the kingdom of God. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remitting of those sins. And I don't care if the world calls me a heretic or an exclusionist. When a person is filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the biblical evidence is speaking in a new tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance. Romans 6, 3 and 5. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, there's that word again. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. The only way that you can partake in the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection is you have to die to the old man. That's through repentance. You have to be buried with him like he was in the waters of baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted... Now listen, I'm not a very smart man. I didn't get no amens. Okay. If we are planted... Well, how do you plant something? Do you just take it out in the yard and just sprinkle some dirt over it? Do you take it out in the yard, Brother Keith, and just maybe pour a cup of dirt on it? You have to be planted. Baptism comes from the word baptismo, which means to fully submerge. And I know I've said this, but I take it like an Oreo cookie. That Oreo cookie with its outer chocolate wafers has a little cream center in the middle of it. And that cookie cannot be all it's intended to be. Y'all know where I'm going. Because I'm telling the truth. It cannot be what it was intended to be. The fullness of the flavor or the fullness of what that cookie should be is not realized until it's fully submerged into that milk. Don't put it just halfway in the milk or just, you know, eat it, then drink some milk behind it. But that's how we are. We cannot experience the newness of life until we have been planted, as Paul writes, in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the... Oh. He didn't leave it out. He didn't leave it out, Brother Dempsey. If we've been buried with him, we shall also in the likeness be of his resurrection. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is not just a feeling. It's a force of life. It's more than just the earnest of our inheritance. It is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Bible says that it gives us boldness and it empowers us to be the witnesses of God in an untoward generation. I've come to tell you this morning that the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the power of God. It is our salvation. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost allows us to be overcomers. It is the indwelling of God's Spirit in the believer that allows us to be more than just conquerors. It's also a teacher. It's how we're sanctified. How do we know how to do the right and the wrong thing growing up? As a baby, we correct them, right? As a small child, they don't know not to put their fingers in a light socket. And so we correct them. We are teaching them. That's how God is with us. His Spirit is a teacher, Brother Wilson. He will correct us. He will give us discipline because He loves us. Let me tell you, the correction of God is not punishment. But it's for our own redempting process. It's for our own sanctification. Romans 8 and 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Listen, the Holy Ghost is not... I'm going to be careful how I say this. It's not a fix-all. Paul said to mortify your own things, the things that you deal with in your flesh. There are some things that you have control of that you need to get in order. The Spirit of God is what gives us the ability to overcome those things. Brother Dempsey, we were talking about this last night. If you want to be a better father, be a better father. If you want to be a better husband, be a better husband. We got the word. We know how to do it, or at least we should know how to do it. But those things that we just can't seem to get over, God empowers us through His Spirit to overcome those things. But we have to give an effort. We have to attempt to at least care about it enough to stop or to try harder. This ain't in my notes, it's free. Romans 8 and 11 says, "If that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you," the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, "it too will quicken your mortal body. So all these folks that ask, well, do I have to have the Holy Ghost? You got to have the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You got to have the Holy Ghost to drive down 280. Paul says that unless you have that same quickening spirit, you ain't going to get lifted. Think of it as this, and I know I got some young people in here. Think of it as jet fuel. If a plane don't have the fuel in it, it ain't getting airborne. Can I submit to you today that if you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, you are not going to leave this earth because it is a quickening spirit. And I'm slow, and so I need all the quickening I can get. So the moment that you receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you are living the first resurrection. Spiritual resurrection. Christ was the first fruit, and we bear His likeness or His fruit because He is the vine. You don't have to wait for heaven to live. You can start living right now. The second life, the hope of resurrection. When this life ends, that's not the end of the story. The same Spirit that lets me live now will let me live again. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall raise first." So I want you to get this picture. Those who have passed from this temporal world, who have been born again of water and a spirit, are going to rise first. And Paul says, "And those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air." So let me tell you, yes, we are in a time of healing. Yes, life goes on. But this morning, life doesn't end for a child of God. Right now, listen, we think eternity starts when our last breath is drawn from here. We're living in the eternal now. I want to say this, that the resurrection that Paul preached and wrote about was not something that they had or entered into their mind in the Old Testament. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Jews, the Hebrews, in the Old Covenant didn't believe in a resurrection like we believe in the resurrection. They thought that when the resurrection was happening, that you would go back to what you were before. That's not true. The Bible says that corruption is going to put on incorruption. And mortality is going to put on immortality. And we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So Jesus is the blessed hope. He is the reason that we have the hope of a resurrection. Let me tell you, if they lay me in the ground, I'm not finished. I'm just planted, Brother Dempsey. Because one day that trump of God's going to sound, and time, as we know it, will be no more. And every spirit-filled believer will live again. Jesus conquered the grave so that death could never conquer us. That's why the apostle could shout, "O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory?" This morning you can live and live again. Colossians 3 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." If you know you're going to live forever, you don't live for this old temporal world. You live for eternity. You live for the holy things of God. You live hopeful. You live full of the Spirit because, as the old song sings, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." heaven's open doors are beckoning me this morning. Let me tell you, when I think of what God has gone to prepare for those that love Him, let me tell you, this old world can keep going down the sinful path that it's going, but I'm laying, Brother Dempsey, my treasures where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves break in and steal. Brother Wilton, I'm building my home on the other side of glory. We are not living for comfort this morning, but we are living for a coming kingdom. We're not just surviving. We are reviving. We've been born again and we're waiting to rise again. Musicians, you can come. I tell you, the Holy Ghost that keeps you in the storm is the same Holy Ghost that will rapture you when the trump of God sounds. The power that helps you live right today will help you rise right tomorrow. Through the new birth, repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you can begin to live right now. Through the resurrection, you can live again. Jesus told Martha, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That means that even if the world says it's over, God says, you can live again. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, wrapped up, sealed in a tomb. But when Jesus stepped forth onto the scene, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Brother Sims, me and you may have to talk about this after church. But I believe that if Jesus had not singled Lazarus out, and he had just spoke to the tomb and said, "Come forth," every dead thing would have come forth. But because he made it personal, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." This morning, Jesus is still calling to the individual. Jesus is still saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This morning, Jesus is still calling for the sinner to come home. Jesus is still calling individuals, "Come to the foot of the cross." Let me tell you, there's still room for one more this morning. There's still a beckoning to the sin-sick soul that you can live and live again. He's still calling somebody out of sin. He's still calling us, Brother Brown, out of shame. He's still calling us out of depression and anxiety. He's still calling us out of spiritual death. He's saying, "Come forth." Church, this morning, if you'll stand. The question isn't, are you breathing? The question is, are you alive? If you've never been born again of water and of spirit, today is the day of salvation. Let me tell you, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, make sure I don't lie to nobody. We've got water. You can be buried today. You can be planted in Christ. You can have your sins remitted. The Bible says that He will remember them no more. As far as the east is from the west. If you've been baptized in any other name than in the name of Jesus, you have not been baptized the biblical way. The scripture tells us if a man or angel come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. This morning, repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the plan of salvation. It's not religion. It's not even really doctrine. It is, but it's really not. It's not my spin on the Word. It's the Word. It's the written word of God. And this morning, to every believer here, maybe life has tried to drain your joy. Maybe the enemy has tried to snuff out your worship. Maybe he's tried to throw water on your fire. The same spirit that reaches for the sinner this morning is that same spirit that would revive you today by refilling you with the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that raised you up once can breathe life into you again. This morning, I would just ask that across this house, if you'll close your eyes and you lift your hands and begin to talk to God, there is a drawing. There is a pulling this morning. The old song sings, "Because I live, I can face tomorrow." Because He lives, all fear is gone. I'm going to open these altars this morning. If you need new life, come. If you need a renewal in your spirit today, this altar call is for you. Perhaps maybe you're dead in your trespasses and sins this morning. This altar call is also for you. Let repentance turn into rejoicing, and let the dead places in your soul come alive. Because I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives in me. And when Jesus comes again, church, we're going to live again. Have to make our calling and election sure this morning. These altars are open.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all
thank you, Jesus. This world is a magnificent creation of God. Amen. And He's given us the plan of salvation. You heard that so eloquently this morning. I've been over most of the world. Seen a lot of interesting things. Snorkeling in a place in the Caribbean that for like 200 yards it goes from inches to 80 feet, and then at 81 feet or 201 yards it goes to 600 feet deep. Boom, you can't see the bottom. But disturbances in a realm that we cannot see causes water to move at over 600 miles an hour. Boom. And it'll hit that updraft and it'll shoot waves 100 feet into the air. It's not caused by water moving on top. It's caused by water moving down deep. And there's a real, real deep current of the Spirit today. But you know, we're a little nervous. We're actually moving in uncharted area. So it's got us all a little bit nervous. But I can tell you, God's not nervous. Long about, I'm going to say about 2018, I'm not sure. I was preaching the conference in Madagascar. Got on a Sunday morning. Brother Jules was the superintendent. And his wife, such a wonderful, wonderful anointed lady, sang and led worship that morning. And there was about 25,000 there. And I saw the Spirit go up. Never forgot that. Genesis chapter 18. Abraham and God had a conversation. And when the conversation was over, the Bible says, and God went up. Genesis 35. God and Jacob have a conversation. It's a very serious conversation. And when the conversation was ended, God went up. And I feel an updraft in the Spirit today. I've been off the coast or in Peru. And at Lima there, there's a place on the coast where the land drops several hundred feet, probably 500 feet to the water. And they got people that's got parachutes. And they'll strap you in and you run and jump off this cliff. And you think, this is not going to end well. But there's an updraft on the other side of that cliff. It brings you up. And you soar without an engine. No propeller, no jet, but you soar for half an hour and they land you on the very spot that you strapped into that parachute with. There are dimensions in the Spirit. You got to run and leap. You can't stay back, push emotion down, and try to hold it all together. You got to commit thy way unto the Lord, and He shall direct thy paths. Beautiful song, but I'm going to stay in that same key, and I'm going to pull an old one out. It says, I've had some to follow me. Oh, for just a bite to eat. While others came in hopes that I would heal their crippled feet. When they were not hungry and they walked straight and tall, they'd forget we ever met. They hardly knew me at all. Oh, can anybody love me just because And do you need a reason at all? Love me for pity, or just for what I'll do. If you need a reason, tell them I first love you. Somebody by the hand. I got the first lady's hand. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know let your praises just go up. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know just because he lives. Play it again, Sister Jennifer. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to hearts here this morning. And maybe you don't know how to respond. Maybe you're afraid. But the thing about God is you can talk to him just like you're talking to me or your best friend. You can just tell him whatever's in your heart. And he knows how to just touch that spirit. Amen. Amen. And let the healing waters of the Holy Ghost just baptize us with his presence. The living just because he lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you today. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Master, because your spirit is rich here today. It's been here from the very beginning, Lord. You've touched our spirits. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, go with us. Keep your hand on us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Won't you shake the hand of your neighbor, hug your neighbor's neck, wherever or whatever is appropriate. In Jesus' name.